Amen. No, I do not. Thank you. Glory to God. Miss Tracy back there, can you get our 2021 declaration up, please? We're going to say that before we get started and as they take up the offering. Hallelujah. We need to keep the vision before us. Amen. So we write it so anybody that sees it can run with it. Amen. Glory to God. All right. We're going to say this together. This is my year to exceed abundantly in every area of my life. I will exceed in the love of God. I will exceed in my relationships and friendships. I will exceed in my job and business. I will exceed physically, emotionally, and mentally. I will exceed in my finances and giving. I will go higher than I've ever gone. I will do more than I've ever done. I will exceed in 2021. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. How many seeing that already? We're seeing it. Glory to God. Amen. Glory. And it's just the end of March. I can't believe it's the end of March, but glory to God. We're just in the end of March here. The year's just begun. Amen. So how many knows what we've been talking about all this month? So the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's been a good study. It's good to get into the word. First, we started talking about really what the blood of Jesus and how, what does it mean to us? You know, because that's really the first thing that anybody really wants to know. What's in it for me? What's really in it for me? Why are we talking about the blood of Jesus? Why are we? I don't know if we are still dimmed or not. Pastor Ricky's looking around. I can tell what he's thinking. If we can, are all the lights up? Everything's good? Everything's good. So really, what's in it for me? We went through and we talked about the blood of Jesus and how do we apply it to our life and what does that really mean? And then we started getting into the covenant because you can't really go very far talking about the blood of Jesus without talking about covenant. So we started to break it down just a little bit. We just barely scratched the surface, you guys. We just barely scratched the surface. We really did. So we started talking about the old covenant. And what covenant really means and what it kind of looks like a little bit more modern day also. And then now tonight we're going to start talking about the new covenant. All right. Hallelujah. And then on Sunday, it is Palm Sunday. Amen. So it's going to be exciting. I'm actually going to be teaching this coming up Sunday and we're going to sum it up with the cross. Amen. And really that final when Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. And it's going to be good. Glory to God. Let's go over to Hebrews 8:6. This is kind of our main scripture that we've had all 4 weeks. Hebrews 8:6. I still hear some pages turning, so I'll just give another second. All right. But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant. Hallelujah. How many knows we're in a better covenant? Amen. Hallelujah. Which was established on better promises. Glory to God. Who likes better promises? We all like better promises. Anything better, it's a good thing. You know, it's good. Let's go over to Luke 22:19. And I'm actually going to just take a second, open up my own Bible, because sometimes when you get the scriptures on there, after you've read it in the Bible, you can see where you want to start and end, and I just want to make sure I have that so I don't miss anything. All right, so in this scripture, we're right in the middle here where, well, actually, let's start at 14, and I'm just going to read through. Let's get into the word tonight. Amen. When the hour had come, he had sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What do you think he's talking about there? Amen. The new covenant. Amen. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Verse 19, and he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup of the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. Can we say that together? Together, new covenant in my blood. The new covenant in my blood. It's interesting now that we kind of have went through and have studied covenant and what it's all about and what this is. We read these scriptures now and these kind of things start popping out to us. It's like, wow, I've read this so many different times of new covenant, but in my blood. That's how the covenant is established, through the blood. Amen. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. The funny thing is, he's saying this before he actually shed his blood. He was saying this in front of the disciples that he had tried to give them a clue here and there what's going to happen. They're trying to fill in the blank. He knew. But he was saying right then and there, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on this table, and surely the Son of Man goes, and it has been determined. But woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. And he was talking about Judas there. But yeah, new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. At that moment, this is when the covenant, the new covenant, started to begin. We walked through and we started talking about the whole process of cutting covenant and the different things. The first thing is negotiation. The first thing is, I'm going to give you this and you're going to get this. Not as a contract, amen? Covenant, we know, is the closest thing that we have in the English language is close to a promise. Is close to a promise because it lands on character and you fulfilling your word. It's not a contract. It's so much deeper than a contract. But this is when the new covenant started to take place. And it went through the whole crucifixion until he said, it is finished. But this is where it began. That's why he said, which is shed for you. Not which will be shed for you, or in a couple days it will be, you know, it is shed for you. This was something hard for them to hear. They knew he was talking about covenant. They knew he was talking about covenant. But when someone hands you a cup and says, this is my blood, it's a little hard to hear. The Bible says this is a hard saying. This was hard to hear. But they trusted him, amen? On Sunday, we're also going to be taking up communion. We're going to be talking about some of these things just briefly. But communion is a big deal. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. This is something natural. Who knows? We are in this natural world. We have these natural bodies. Jesus knows, God knows that we need natural things to remind us of spiritual principles, right? That's why Jesus did parables and different things. He was trying to get it down to our level that we could grasp it, we could take it, we can remember it. And that's what Jesus was doing. And we're going to be doing that on Sunday is communion. Amen. I'm just going to read this here. The disciples knew what it meant. They knew that when they cut the covenant with Jesus in the upper room that night, they had entered into the strongest, most sacred covenant known to the human heart. Because with Jesus and in the new covenant, it's all about the heart. It's a heart issue. That's when Jesus, when he was confronted by the Pharisees, and one man had asked him, about the whole idea of adultery and different things. And Jesus said, it's when you think of it. It's a heart issue. It's not if you committed the sin or not. It is a heart issue. And Jesus always brought it back around to the heart issue. Now, in the past, we looked at all these laws and different things with Moses setting up the laws, and now we have this tabernacle, and now we have to go into the Holy of Holies, and we have a high priest and different things like that. But they had to do it to the law. But Jesus brought it back to the heart. It's not just because you have to do it this way because that's what God told us to do. We do it this way because we love God. We don't want to hurt God. We want to obey God. It is a heart issue. Amen. Let's go over to Hebrews 10. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. All right, we're going to read through this a little bit here. I'm just going to start with Hebrews 10. We're just going to start with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come. Amen. Good things to come. The Old Testament is showing us of good things to come. When we read it, we should know, oh, I see a little bit of Jesus there. Oh, this is a shadow of what happened in the New Testament. We can see that now because we're on this other side looking back. But the Old Testament was showing us the good things to come. Also, and not the very image of the things And not the very image of the things. He's talking about the shadow of things. A type and a shadow, they call it. Can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, he's talking about the old covenant, he's talking about the priests, make those whose approach perfect? For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. It was not possible. It could not ever take it away. It was covered. It was covered for a time. It was covered for a year. But then it was remembered, and they had to do it again, and do it again, and do it again. Verse 5, therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. God didn't want it like that. God didn't want to have people doing these sacrifices and different things. Man sinned. But there was a way around it, and he was trying to get back into relationship with a man, and there was a way, and for a time, that is what they had to do. There was no pleasure in that. Verse 7, then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do your will, O God. Amen. Verse 8, previously saying, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings of your sin, you did not desire, you had pleasure in him. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. What do you think he's talking about there? He took away the first to establish the second. This is the scripture that tells us there is an old covenant and there is a new covenant. But that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Can we say that together? Once for all. Amen. Hallelujah. He was the final sacrifice. He was the only sacrifice that could have been offered, that had the blood that could be shed for us. Once for all. It was interesting. There was this time I was, it was a long time ago, probably about maybe 10, 15 years ago, but I was watching this, you know how you skim through the channels and all of a sudden something catches your eye, and there was a lady, and I don't know, she was from a different country, and somehow she kept on having these marks on her body that would show up out of nowhere. Well, so I started watching this, trying to kind of figure it out, just kind of caught my attention. Well, all of a sudden, it was these marks that would be on her palms, and it was hurting her, and it looked like, you know, like nails were going through her palms, and then all of a sudden, these stripe-looking things would show up on her back, and I'm thinking, Jesus died once for all. And her mindset was, well, I'm showing everybody that I'm suffering just as Jesus suffered, and on and different things. Jesus was a final sacrifice. You do not have to suffer. Jesus bore it, so we don't have to bear it. Amen. It's like, rebuke that demon and get on with it, because that is not of the Lord, and that is not of Jesus, and Jesus is not trying to prove anything here. Hallelujah. Hopefully she got somebody in the Word telling her that, because she was deceived in that. But if you don't know the Word of God, you think, wow, Jesus is appearing to people, or I don't know what people think about that, but it's just ridiculous. But if you know the Word, we know things like this once for all. Amen? Once for all. He's the final sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So the priest stood daily ministering and offering the same sacrifices for the sin of Israel. Christ entered into heaven itself with his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When God accepted the blood of Jesus Christ, he signified that the claims of justice had been met, that man could be legally taken from Satan's authority, amen, and restored to fellowship with himself. That's what Jesus did. By the sacrifice of himself, Christ put sin away. By the sacrifice of himself, he had sanctified man. And we all know, sanctify means to set apart, to separate. He had separated man from Satan's kingdom and brought him into the kingdom of light. Amen. Hallelujah. This is interesting. So how do we know that Christ actually applied his blood to the altar, to the Holy of Holies in heaven itself? That's an interesting thought. Well, there's several different scriptures, and I'm just going to go over one right here. But when Christ met Mary after his resurrection, he said to her, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father." Why couldn't she touch him at that point? He had to do something. We know he went to hell, got the keys of death, hell, and the grave from Satan. Amen. Took that authority. Amen. And he was headed up to heaven and put his blood on the altar. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus' ministry as high priest did not end with him carrying his blood to the holy place. He is still the minister of the sanctuary. The word sanctuary in the Greek means holy things. He is the high priest. He is still our high priest. Amen? Amen. Let's go over here real quick too. Every prayer, every worship is ascended by the Father when it is presented in the name of Jesus. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. He sits at the right hand of God. Amen. This is also interesting. I looked up the idea about the Holy of Holies. And in 1 Kings 6, you don't have to go there. 1 Kings 6, 19 and 20, it talks about the temple and how the Holy of Holies was set up. And basically it was in cubits, which is a way of measurement. But when I looked up what it was really, it was 30 long, 30 high, 30 wide, so a square place that they called Holy of Holies. And one of the things that they had to do is they had to make this amazing woven veil that separated the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, from the people. So that's where God dwelled. And there was only one person, the high priest, that would go in there once a year and put blood on the altar. The interesting thing is, when Jesus, I had one scripture that I wanted to go to. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was ripped. So the veil, to shut off that area of the holies of holies, was 30 feet long and 30 feet high. It also talks about the width of that veil, and they called it a hand width, so they think it's around 4 inches thick. And that had to be woven, and it had to be hung, and think about 30 feet high of what that massive veil would look like. I would like that. I wrote it down somewhere. Matthew 27:51. Let's just bring that up. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two, hallelujah, from top to bottom. There's another clue right there, from top to bottom. Top to bottom, 30 feet high, 4 inches thick, top to bottom. And the earthquake and the rocks were split. There was something that happened, amen. There was blood that was shed that day, amen. There was an angel that went into that holies of holy and tore the veil, hallelujah, because there was a new covenant with man and God. And Jesus was now the high priest, amen. And we can go freely to Jesus, our high priest, who's sitting at the right hand of God, amen, hallelujah. That is a better covenant on better promises, amen. Glory to God. He is our high priest forever. Let's turn to Hebrews 6:19. He is our high priest forever. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Let's go a little bit further down here. When the forerunners has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever, amen, the high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He's the high priest forever. I think that's as far as we need to go with that. But he is the high priest forever. Hallelujah. Because there was a covenant. There was blood that was shed. This is interesting. We're going to talk about some of the blood that was shed during this process as he starts stepping into this covenant that he is doing. First off, let's go to, let's see here. The first place that he shed blood was in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying and he sweat blood. That was the first place that he actually shed his blood. And really what that means for us is we have victory to do what God has asked us to do the will of the Father. Just like Jesus did. He had victory in that area. We can have victory when God asks us to do something. Amen. We can do it because Jesus was our example. If Jesus can do it, we can do it. Amen. That's the first place there. In Matthew 26:39, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Hallelujah. And then in Luke 22:43, it says, "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." Hallelujah. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The second place that his blood was shed was the stripes and the wounds that he took for us. In 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Amen. Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So another thing that Jesus has victory in, that got victory in for us, was over healing. Amen. So we can be healed because of the blood that was shed. Hallelujah. We can walk in health. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus did. It's so sad when everything that Jesus did, and there's some people, and I know I have been there also, that we don't first and foremost go to Jesus and say, Lord, I am struggling here. I am not feeling well. Whatever the case may be, your back's out, your blood test came back wrong, the bad report or headache or whatever the case may be. We need to be running to Jesus saying, I do not want to do this alone. You already have the victory in this area, and then you apply it to your life. That is the power of the blood of Jesus. It'd be so sad if he did this all for nothing. Did he do this for nothing? No, because we're going to apply it to our life. Amen. The third place, crown of thorns. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. Some people want to say, and there's probably different ways that you can look at this, but I think one of the good ways to look at this would be Jesus has victory for us, even in mental torment, anything affecting the mind. Jesus made a way for us to be able to have that victory also. Amen. In Genesis 3:17, the curse of, and it also says, I really like this one too. So there's two different kinds of ways to put this, but mental torment we can have victory in. Jesus won back our prosperity. If you think of it as a crown, as the new kingdom, as a king, and they were trying to make fun of him, but we know who he really is. Hallelujah. Genesis 3:17, the curse of poverty that came upon mankind because of Adam's sin. John 19:2, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. 2 Chronicles 8:9, for you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Hallelujah. The fourth place, his hands were pierced. The fourth place that blood flowed was his hands. I like this one because we relate that to dominion and authority over everything that we touch. Amen. Genesis 39:3, God says, everything that we put our hands to do, he will cause it to prosper. That's Genesis 39:3. Everything we put our hands to do, he will cause it to prosper. Jesus did that for us, and we can remember that by that. Genesis 1:26 and 28, God made man to be just like him and gave man authority and dominion over all the earth. Mark 16:18, after Jesus died and rose from the dead before ascending to heaven, he tells believers of their authority and has been returned to them through his blood shed at the cross. In my name, they will take up serpents, they will drink any deadly thing, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. The fifth place, his feet were pierced. Deuteronomy 11:24, every place on which the soles of your foot tread shall be yours. Again, dominion and authority that Jesus paid through by the shedding of his blood, by the power that was in his blood that he gave to us. Amen. Mark 16:15, after Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, before he ascended into heaven, he commanded all the believers, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Amen. Hallelujah. The sixth place, he was on the cross and they pierced his side and blood and water flowed. First of all, that was a fulfillment of prophecy. But also John 19:32, then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, because another prophecy was fulfilled that he would have no broken bones. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Amen. We can relate this to, he heals the brokenhearted. His blood was shed. His heart was pierced. He's taken everything that we could ever go through. He heals the brokenhearted. Amen. And he gives us joy. Amen. The seventh place is also in Isaiah 53:5. But he was bruised. We all know what a bruise is, right? It's bleeding underneath the skin. He was bruised. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was bruised for our wickedness. He was bruised for our disobedience. He was bruised for our rebellion against God. Our sin, he was bruised for that. He did that for us. He did all of this for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ did this for us. While we still mocked him, Christ did that for us. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk more about this Sunday and get into some different things, but hallelujah, the new covenant was established. By his blood. Amen. By his blood. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for teaching us through your word. Thank you, Jesus, for taking our place on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us authority. And Lord, we do not want everything that you have done for us to go to waste. We will not let it. We will use our authority. We will take our authority. We will not live in poverty because, Jesus, you took it for us. We will not live in sickness because, Jesus, you took it for us on the cross. We will not live in sin because, Jesus, you took it to the cross for us. Thank you, Lord, and you gave us your authority. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you have done. Thank you, Father God, for your word that has been spoken out tonight. Thank you for the powerful blood of Jesus, that there was a way to have us be in right standing with God once again, to go to your throne room boldly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To be able to go to our high priest, to be able to walk into the holies of holies and worship you freely, Father God, not having to go to a man, but going to God himself. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, before we go, let's just sing the song, Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Can I just ask a quick question? How many people have been had opportunities the last month to be able to use the blood of Jesus? to be able to go into a situation and the Holy Spirit bring up to you and say, you know what, use the blood of Jesus in this situation. There's been several times that we have already been using the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood to change the situation around. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit will let you know it's time to put the blood on that. Time to plead the blood in that situation. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We're getting out just a tad bit early. The youth and the kids might still be in class, but fellowship for a little while. And you guys are dismissed. We will see you on Sunday.